your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs and alcohol can ruin your life. So watch the program. Talk about it with your family.
Make the right
everyone, welcome to special presentation with Mike and Ethan, or
Elf will not be seen tonight.
Well, we took a good look at a classic New Zealand comic strip a couple of weeks ago, and I guess we're keeping this whole down under train a rolling, because now we have looked at one of the most beloved, but one of the best drawn Australian comic strips of all time. I never heard of it. It's Fatty Finn.
I, too, have never heard of this. And to be quite frank, I'm kind of skeptical about how beloved it is in Australia after all this.
I mean, I Googled Fatty Finn and I found some very nice Adventure Time fan art that I saved. But I didn't find much about this actual comic.
So, Fatty Finn... Let's talk about this comic a little bit before we get into the movie. So Fatty Finn is a popular, citation needed, long-run Australian comic strip series created in 1923 by Sid Nichols. And it ran until the creator's death in 1977. So it never became a zombie strip. It ended with the death of the author. It seems like it's basically Little Rascals.
Yeah. There was a certain, I guess this is actually a nostalgia trip for the people who were drawing these comics in the 20s and 30s, remembering their relatively unchaperoned childhoods in the 1900s and 10s.
Yeah. And so... But like this is transferred up to the 1930s.
Yes.
So it's a 1910s childhood as we see in the 1930s, and then adapted into a movie in the 1980s.
Yeah.
But
also the comic was originally called Fat and His Friends, so his name wasn't Fatty; it was just Fat.
Right, and apparently he was originally fat.
Yes.
But
and he was bald and nasty.
Yes. According to Wikipedia, he was a Billy Bunter-ish, nasty, fat, bald schoolboy who wore a straw boater. Now, Billy Bunter is, if you haven't heard of him, that is a British comic strip about a fat, nasty schoolboy.
Yes.
Who's also almost bald, I guess.
As well as his gluttony, he is obtuse, lazy, racist, nosy, deceitful, slothful, self-important, and conceited. So, Cartman, 100 years ago.
Yes. Now, apparently, that really... The Brits loved that guy. The Brits just could not get enough of Billy Bunter. They were like, we love this fat racist. And apparently, though, that didn't play as well in Australia because... very quickly after it premiered in 1923, it got retooled in 1924 to have a more distinctly Australian flavor. Fat, now named Fatty, lost a lot of weight and became like kind of more of a I don't know what you kind of describe. He's like, he wears like a Boy Scout uniform now. He's kind of like a little hooligan, but more like a...
Yeah, a hooligan with a heart of gold. Maybe, I felt like he was kind of a Shirley Temple-style character. Like, I know, let's put on a show.
Yeah. I mean, he strikes me as kind of a little bit like kind of a Huck Finn type.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Appropriate because he's a Fatty Finn. like, he's a good kid, but he's mischievous. He has schemes. You know, he's got a gang that he, like you said, they like to put on shows. He's a, I mean, modern kids may say, like, he's a little bit like Eddie, you know, Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
Oh, okay.
But
which one is Eddie?
Eddie is the leader.
Oh, okay. The squarehead one? Well, I guess they're all squarehead one, but you know, the one with the broad squarehead.
Right. Like, this is after your time, Ethan. You wouldn't know this. This is for the kids.
The only Ed and Eddie thing I know is the short where they got shrunk. I like the art style on that one a lot better.
I did not see that one. That seems a little more fantastical than their usual adventures.
Yeah, it was.
Now,
I was
Fatty
like, you
Finn,
know, I'm done being a kid. I don't want to watch just kids doing kid things.
I want to see them having amazing adventures, just like Funzo.
Yeah, I want, you know, I want relatable, down to earth stories that are totally off the wall and swarming with magic robots. What's hard about that?
Yeah, I would also like it if there was like a really buff like dog in it too. Anyway, so Fatty Finn, he is, according to Wikipedia, he was a knockabout schoolboy, innocently living out his days in a never-never urban world.
This sounds like it was copied from some book.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, never-never urban world. Cause,
yeah, have you ever heard anything described as knockabout?
I have not heard that. I've heard gadabout.
Yeah, knockabout. What's a knockabout? It just means someone who hangs around on streets like, hey, I'll shave your back for a nickel.
I mean, that's kind of what it would sound like. I don't think that, like, Fatty doesn't see... Well, he gets into some pretty illegal mischief in this film, but I don't feel like that's really his thing. Now, he's got a gang, okay? That includes his dog, Pal, his goat, Hector, and then basically what I think you would call a typical gang. Like...
Yeah, there's the kid with the glasses, and then there's the girl, and then there's the others.
Yes. So our glasses kid is Headlights Hogan, because he's wearing glasses. Yeah. And
when he grew up, he changed his name to Hulk.
He worked out. He took the Charles Atlas course because he got tired of being called a, you know,
Headlights.
He's got that. I don't think he ever says by my calculations, but he's that kind of guy. He's that kind of character. Then yeah, there's the girl. I think her name is like Tiffy or Tilly in this. Yeah, I think it's Tilly. And then there's Lolly Legs.
Lolly Legs. Don't name a character Lolly Legs anymore, people.
Yeah, I don't really know what Lolly Legs' thing is. I think that he's tall is his distinguishing characteristic.
Yeah.
And then another one.
Yeah, there's... Okay, the kids are Tilly, Headlights, Lolly Legs, Skeet, and Seezy.
Okay, so...
Skeet!
One of Skeet or Squeezy, one of those two is very small, I think.
And it has huge curls.
Yeah, like I feel like that one is the analog to Froggy in The Little Rascals.
Yeah.
But but other than that, like, yeah, it's a pretty typical gang. And they fight against, there's a bad guy, you know, there's a bad gang that they fight against.
Which contains members like Bruiser and Bruiser's girl.
Yes. And some other guys, but they're not important. Then apparently they have they have basically like Little Rascal style adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fatty Finn came to be recognized as one of the best drawn comics in Australia, and it vied with Ginger Meggs in popularity. So let me tell you, that's the big time. This comic strip was almost as popular as Ginger Meggs. Another
Ginger Meggs, which I'm sure
we've all heard of Ginger Meggs, of course. We all know Ginger Meggs.
Ginger Meggs has had 5 different authors.
Oh, and yet none of them have done anything so distinctive that I would have heard of it.
Yep.
Because, you know, I believe if I haven't heard of it, it's not worth knowing.
Yeah. Ginger Meggs was created by Jimmy Banks, who had a year's worth of strips as a buffer to run when he unexpectedly died of a heart attack. So,
wow. Damn.
He, well, you know, that's a working cartoonist. I applaud you. I applaud you, damn. Dead Australian guy.
And... man, you know what? Yeah, the hardest. He's like the Tupac Shakur of Australian comics.
I wonder if there's any hints in them that he's not really dead.
Yeah, like he's hanging out with a walrus while he's doing a crosswalk, and there's an apple that turns red if you dunk the comic strip in water, you know.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, he did it for 30 years until his heart attack, and then Ron Vivian drew it from 1953 to 1973, so wow, that's another 20 years. Lloyd Piper wrote and drew it from 1973 to 1983 when he died in a car accident. It's like, man, Ginger Meggs has claimed so many lives.
Not the curse of Ginger Meggs.
Yep. And then from 1984 to 2007, it was drawn by James Kemsley, who was posthumously awarded with the Medal for the Order of Australia for his art in Ginger Meggs. And wow. The current artist is Jason Chatfield, who has written and drawn it since 2007.
So Ginger Meggs is still going.
Ginger Meggs is still going. Over 100 years now.
Yeah, but does it have a movie? Because if not, then it falls short of Fatty Finn. Which
yes,
has not
1982... just won. The 1982 Australian film Ginger Meggs, starring Gary McDonald and Drew Forsythe. The film was criticized for including rock songs on the soundtrack.
What? Rock songs?
Rock songs? All right.
Well, I think we may be continuing our Down Under theme soon with a look at Ginger Meggs.
Yep.
But first...
yeah, this is what you've been waiting for, folks. This is the big time.
I like that, like, yeah, but all these episodes were just, like, talking about, like, what, I've never heard of it. These comics, what is this? What is these stupid Australian comics? Bush League shit. I like saying it because I know how much our Australian friends get mad when those of us Yanks, or as they call us, Seppos, denigrate their country.
What do they call us? Seppos?
Seppos, yes.
Seppos, okay.
Yeah. Because apparently the Australians use Cockney rhyming slang, and yank rhymes with septic tank. Oh, so, yeah. Okay. So when my brother went down there for when he was studying abroad, and they were all like, hey, it's a seppo. And he was like, oh, I don't know what that means. I once actually was in the South Pacific in Micronesia, actually. And I was... at the Ace Hardware in Ponape, on the island of Ponape. So, you know, that's the sort of thing you say when you're like, come to the Ace Hardware on the island of Ponape in the next 10 minutes if you want an ass kicking. Anyway, but the story is we were there because we were the only store on the island of Ponape, the Ace Hardware. And we were like there, and this random Australian guy was hanging out. And the thing about Micronesia is, like many South Pacific islands, they're you know, you basically have people who are from the islands, and you have weird kind of drifters from like Australia, New Zealand, and occasionally the States. And these guys are all like, you know, they're all like either weirdo treasure hunters who are convinced that they're going to find like a golden Buddha that the Japanese buried during World War II, or they're weird sex criminals on the run. Those are the only two kinds of people you meet, white people that you meet on these islands. Anyway, I, a white person, was on this island, and I met this Australian guy. We were just talking. I was there with my wife, and he's like, "Hey, are you pommies?" And we were like, "We don't know what that means. What does that mean?" And he was like, "Oh," and he was when he realized we were not pommies, and he was like, "Oh, well, I didn't mean to offend you." And I was like, "Well, I don't know what it means. What does it mean? You know, I can't be offended if I know what it means." And he wouldn't tell me what it meant, and I thought it was this awful insult. And so later on, I looked it up, and it turns out that it means like a British person.
Oh. Yeah, oh geez. Yeah, you would have beaten him up.
Oh yeah, I mean that's true. If I was like, I would have been like, "You take that back, motherfucker." but it stands for POM, Prisoner of Mother England. So Pommy. So that's their thing. Anyway, that was a very long story. The punchline is just to say that Australians are weird. Anyway,
I mean that's half the reason to go there. Yeah,
that's true. Anyway, now that we've totally just like shat on the Australian comic strip industry, before we're done today, I think I should also just pretend that they didn't help us during World War II, because they really like that. They love it when you forget that they helped in World War II. They love it almost as much as the Canadians do. Anyway, Fatty Finn.
Where were you in World War I?
That's, well, yeah. I mean, the whole world was involved. I don't see you guys around. What's up with that?
Yeah. Probably were you hanging out with Mexico and the, yeah, we're just going to watch and see how this blows over club.
They're too busy reading Fatty Finn.
I mean, yeah, it was, wait, no. And Fatty Finn got started when? 1923. Okay, so it was just post World War One.
That's probably why they invented Fatty Finn. They were like, we need to come up with a reason why we weren't involved. We'll just tell everyone we're really busy workshopping this new comic strip.
We were all 4F because we're fat, just like in this comic. Okay, yeah. Did they buy it? Okay, we can stop making it fat.
Yeah. Anyway, so Fatty Finn. It turns out he did very... So the big thing about Fatty Finn is that he has wacky adventures with his kitty friends in the never, never urban land of Woomalumaloo, which is apparently a real place in Australia because... Yeah.
How close is it to Sydney? Because he visits Sydney in the movie.
Actually, it says that it seems to be a neighborhood inside Sydney.
Oh, okay.
But I've never heard of it. So... Take from that as you will. But apparently it is a real place that you can visit in Sydney because Australia, very unserious country, is what I'm getting out of this.
The fatuous Finns.
Yeah. Anyway, Fatty also, very briefly, apparently Sid Nichols got tired of this whole like Little Rascals thing, and very briefly Fatty Finn started fighting pirates and cannibals, but apparently the editor was like, fuck this shit. We want more like Little Rascal shenanigans. And so it went back to that. Fatty Finn. Wikipedia has a strip of Fatty Finn, but like it's real small, so I can't really read it.
We're doing the squinting meme.
It looks like Bringing Up Father or something. So.
Yeah, it really does. It's that style. It's that Bigfoot style of cartooning.
Yeah. So I'm really, I am not super gung-ho about actually reading real Fatty Finn strips, because I'm sure they will not be funny.
No.
I am 100% sure that no Fatty Finn strip is actually funny, because it's the 1930s.
You know, what's the funny, I mean, no, there are funny comic strips from the 1930s. I mean, There's the outbursts of Everett True, but Fatty Finn is no Everett True.
No.
He's not even as fat as Everett True.
Yeah, that's... When are they going to make an Everett True movie?
They did, actually.
What?
Yeah, they made a silent Everett True movie when Everett True was popular.
Well, I guess there's another one we're going to have to check out. Now, I think Everett True still rings true today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Fatty Finn, I don't know, the childhood that we see in the Fatty Finn movie and in the Fatty Finn comic strip is one that does not exist anymore, you know?
Did it ever? It feels like this is, you know, it feels like this is a world that never actually existed outside of Toontown.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid in the 80s, we did have a lot of unsupervised time, you know?
They say that kids have no unsupervised time now, but we felt like we didn't have any unsupervised time then.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, when we had unsupervised time in the 80s, basically what we did was we just like bummed around the neighborhood. You know, we'd go down to like the playground and fuck around, or we just we would go to a friend's house and play video games on their Commodore, you know,
Sega or Master System.
Or sometimes we just get together and watch the Godzilla Power Hour, you know. It was a different time, but we didn't usually put on shows, you know. We didn't or have like gang wars with like, you know, opposing orphan groups.
I do remember one time when I was a child, there was a little drive-thru shop near my house where they served shaved ice. I got into the habit of buying a shaved ice regularly with, and a shaved ice was $1.25 at the time, because, you know, because I'm old, and now it's like $4. And I got in the habit of always giving them the quarter wrapped up in the dollar, and they got to know me. then one day when summer was almost over, I paid, but there was a small quarter-sized frog wrapped up in the dollar. A real frog that I caught at the canal, and it jumped out of the, and as they were handing me my shaved ice, that it jumped out and stuck to the window, and I heard a scream, and I was running away with my shaved ice, and I didn't go back that year.
Actually, Ethan, that is a very Fatty Finn kind of shenanigan to get
it
into.
It kind of is, yeah. I mean, that's my biggest shenanigan story, apart from the time that a friend and I were, you know, bumming around, rummaging in an alley, and he really had to take a shit, so he got into someone else's backyard and took it in the corner, and and then the next day we went back and looked at it to make sure it was still there.
Oh, that's great. I love it. But, you know, it's not as much fun if you don't get to see someone get scandalized by it.
No. Yeah, they...
Man.
You know, did they ever realize that there was human feces in the backyard?
Now, I could see Fatty Finn doing that. But I'm trying to think. I can't remember getting into any like Fatty Finn shenanigans when I was a kid. We had a lot of frogs in my neighborhood, and we did catch them a lot, but we didn't we didn't do much with them. We mostly just kept them in a bucket for a day, and then we'd let them go, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like if you were a real Fatty Finn sort, you would like put it down the school marm's dress or something, you know?
Yes. Which I didn't live close enough to my own school for that.
I mean, we kind of actually, that does, I think that literally happens in this movie, doesn't it?
There's a frog, but it doesn't go down a school marm's dress because, you know, here's what a cartoon this world is. The teacher is literally dressed like he's graduating. He's got the mortarboard cap on and the gown as he dictates to them. And through Fatty Finn's machinations, one of the kids who has brought a frog to school throws the frog and it hangs from the guy's tassel and he faints.
Yeah, this is so the Fatty Finn movie. I think it's just called Fatty Finn.
Fatty Finn.
It's when is this movie actually from? It's 1980, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does, the vibe is very much like the Dick Tracy movie or the Popeye movie, where they really try to recreate the world of the comic strip. So that means everyone dresses like a clown. You know?
Yeah, everyone is dressed ridiculously, honestly. The policeman in this movie, your eyes will hurt. His outfit is so blue.
Yeah, they all just look like they're wearing pajamas.
I mean, the face, you almost expect the faces to be printed on Kigurumi.
Yeah. Everyone is wearing like things with giant polka dots and pinstripes and just, it's a choice, you know?
It is a choice. It is a choice, but at the same time, I don't feel like they felt they had a choice. They were just like, that's how you make one of these movies, right?
Yeah, I just don't really, it did not grab me in the way. Like, I like movies that actually do try to, mimic an aesthetic that is that's not in a movie. Because, like, I think the Dick Tracy movie, you know, the one with Warren Beatty, it's not really a good movie, but it's fascinating, you know, because they really went all out in trying to create a comic book world.
Right. Absolutely.
And if you see the Wachowski Speed Racer is another example of that, where it's like they really recreated the world of Speed Racer, the cartoon. Fatty Finn, I don't feel like it really, I mean, it does that, but
I think it's too colorful. I think the world that it was trying to recreate, you know, looks worse by comparison.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I think part of it is just the fact that it's like, I think because it's creating not just a weird cartoonish look, but also trying to create a historical period.
Yeah.
I think that might be the problem, because it's like, okay, you're trying to create a 1930s world because the weird costumes kind of like make that distract from that.
Yeah, but do you think that people will dress like that in the 30s? Well, I mean, they must have at some point, or did the cartoon artist just make it up?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in Australia, this is how people dress in the 1930s.
Doesn't make any sense to us Samos.
Yeah, I think, you know, Seppos. It is interesting. Seppos, yeah. Watching Fatty Finn and last week's episode, Flatfoot Falls.
Foot Rot Flats, yeah.
Foot Rot Flats, thank you. I think it's an interesting kind of window into the down under self-perception, you know, and how they think of themselves. And it's very similar in some ways to the way that Americans think of themselves as like, yeah, we're just like, we're a bunch of, you know.
We're a scrappy bunch who never knows when to quit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're simple folks, and boy, we hate it when like when a bunch of richos try and like steal our farm, stuff like that.
Yeah, no one ever portrays themselves as the rich snobs from the fat kids camp.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that, like, you know, maybe in some ways America and Australia have more in common than we thought. You know, maybe those weirdo Aussies aren't all that bad after all.
Yeah, you know, maybe Fatty Finn can teach us a little bit about life.
I feel like watching this movie, I learned a lot about life. Primarily, what I learned is that an hour and 27 minutes is way too long for a Fatty Finn movie.
God, it took forever. This should have been a special.
Literally, okay, like, this was a movie that was just Fatty Finn doing shenanigans, and we do not need an hour and a half of Fatty Finn shenanigans. It is basically like the Little Rascals, and even to the point of, I think the plot was fairly identical to the Little Rascals movie plot.
I've seen the Little Rascals movie, but the last time I saw it was in like 1997. So what was the Little Rascals movie?
They needed to earn money for a reason. And mm-hmm. So they put on a show and they participated in a race. Now, in Little Rascals movie, it was Soapbox Derby, which is the American version of what the Australians call a goat race, apparently. Because they race goats down there.
Really? You're going to end the movie with a pod race?
Like, Fatty Finn is like, now this was what I call goat racing.
Jabba the Hutt himself.
They also do put on a show in this.
Yeah, they put on a show, they put on a fair, and this is all so that Fatty Finn can buy a crystal set. And I don't know about you, but I was like, what, fine china? But, crystal set is like a crystal radio in this case. A crystal radio that inexplicably is shaped like a fat man with a top hat?
It's Sir Topham Hatt.
I thought it was a cookie jar.
There's a lot going on here that doesn't make sense to us Americans. But I'm sure in Australia, they're like, oh, yeah, crystal set. Yeah, yeah, of course. It's probably shaped like a fat guy in a top hat, right? Oh, yeah, naturally. But Fatty Finn wants it so he can listen to, I think, a sports game on or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Brad Goodman is going to be on the sports thing. Not the Brad Goodman from The Simpsons, a different Brad Goodman. And so Fatty Finn needs to buy it so he can listen to that, but it costs a lot of money. It costs like a million moon units or whatever they use in Australia.
Like
I don't know.
36 quid or bob or
yeah, it's like
ducats.
It's like how many drachmas is that? How many do you? How many Bitcoin? How many? Man.
I mean, it's even more confusing than the fucking Harry Potter money. God, that is the worst thing about Harry Potter is the fucking money.
And man, it has to be pretty bad to be the
worst
thing
it really
Harry
does.
Potter.
It really does. I mean, I used to be like, well, Harry Potter, you know, the story is shit, but at least the world building is interesting. Wait, no, it's not. It's terrible too.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the money. The money's got to be pretty bad if it's worse than both the Quidditch and the transphobia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is the transphobia part of Harry Potter itself?
Well, it depends on how closely you look at Rita Skeeter in that series, I guess.
I don't even remember her. I mean, I wasn't paying that close attention, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's the evil reporter who keeps saying mean things about Harry Potter. And it's just every time she appears when they talk about her, it's like, oh, she's got huge mannish hands and like, really? You know, very prominent larynx. Interesting. So, it's one of those things where like everyone was kind of like, huh. And then J.K. Rowling was like, let me say something. Let me tell you a thing. And everyone was like, oh, I get it. I see that. I see what you did there. Anyway, J.K. Rowling, when you think about it, she was laying hints the whole time. Now that's some world building.
That's true. I mean, you know, I was, you know, early on from like the first book or two, I was like, you know, I think this kind of sucks. It turned out I was right.
you were ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah, I predicted the big twist.
Oh, of the first book or of the whole series?
The big twist of the whole series was that it was going to turn out to not be worth it.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? It was Ethan. That must have been a lonely stand to take at the time because oh my God, everyone was into it.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't not be into it. It was like not being into Firefly in the 90s.
But nobody was into Firefly. That's why it quit. That's why it got
really?
Canceled.
Then why won't people shut up about it? What's up?
Well, because
with that?
They want more of it. But I mean,
oh my God, it's like a conundrum. Maybe that was a bad example. The point is, like, I think everyone was into Harry Potter. The only people who weren't were, like, you and weirdo, like, Christian moms.
Yeah. There was no never thought I'd die side by side with a weirdo Christian mom there. I was like, fuck you. You hate Harry Potter for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but now they all love it. I think, how
do
does
they?
The... I'm not really sure I feel like the evangelist set is probably doing that meme where it's the guy sweating while looking at two buttons. You know, it's like witchcraft or transphobia. I don't know.
I think they're doing the meme where they're like, let them fight.
Yeah, they probably are, actually. Anyway, Fatty Finn.
Fatty Finn starts with a frog race, where everyone puts their frogs in the middle of a chalk circle, and the frog that hops out of it first wins. And Fatty Finn's dog frog is named Trump!
Yeah, this was a movie of its time.
Yeah, I mean, 1980, we'd never heard of that guy. You know, we might have heard of his dad, who everyone hated so much that that they wrote a song about what a dick he was. But
did they really?
Woody Guthrie wrote a song about Fred Trump.
I did not know that. I didn't actually know Fred Trump was known for anything other than
he was
being
known
Trump's
for being
dad.
An awful racist.
Oh, well, I mean, I know he was one. I didn't realize that he was such a racist he got famous for it.
Yeah,
that's
he wrote
impressive.
A song called Old Man Trump.
Oh, damn. How is it possible the Trump family is still around? Because I feel like if Woody Guthrie wrote like a slam song about me, I would just be like, you know what? This family's over. We're done.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
You think that if, you know, they'd have actually reverted to Drumpf by that point.
My God. Ugh. this just really goes to show what a shit country this is, that, like, you know, they're still around after that. Why Biden should have made that his campaign song?
I should have made Ain't Got No Home. You know, the song that goes, "No, no, old man Trump, old Beach Haven ain't my home. Beach Haven looks like heaven where no black ones come to roam."
Man. I bet Fred Trump was, Fred Trump was probably like shaking his Crypt Keeper fist about that one.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever seen that guy, that is a guy who did not age well.
He's not still alive, is he?
No, he's not. I think he's dead. But if you look at pictures of him towards the end,
Oh my God, you're right. God, yeah. You're really. Oh my God, he looks like he was created by the Chiodo brothers.
And I was gonna say, Mom Trump is also. She looks like a brother. Ooh. Yeah, like a. She looks like
a brother's quay creation.
Yeah, brother's quay creation.
Yeah, too many brothers involved here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Trumps, they suck. But Fatty Finn didn't know that in 1980, so he named his frog Trump.
Yeah, because Trump is British for fart, I guess.
Oh, really? And you know, frogs do fart a lot. So
yeah, they do.
But especially
if you do that thing where you inflate them with a straw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be the result.
Yes.
Anyway, so Fatty Finn, however, the villain, Bruiser Murphy, I feel it weren't the villains in Flatfoot Falls also named the Murphys?
Yeah, boy, they hate the Irish over there, don't they?
Wow. Well, I mean, the Australians are very racist, so it makes sense, because we know that they hate the Asians, they hate the indigenous Australians, they hate the Irish.
Yeah.
They
hate the emus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the emus got their revenge.
Yeah. Go emus.
But anyway,
emus
that
in mysterious ways.
But. This so Bruiser Murphy shows up with he actually brings a cane toad to this fight, that is not sitting well with Fatty Finn, because he thinks that's unfair. But the judges are all crooked and they rule that a cane toad can actually it qualifies as an Australian frog.
There's no rule saying that a cane toad can't win a frog jumping contest.
Yeah. And Fatty Finn, he drugs all the toads.
Yes,
the frogs.
He brought crickets that had drowned in gin, and all the frogs get drunk except for Trump, who is a strict Presbyterian.
I thought that was funny because
that's one of the funniest lines. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is funny because the Presbyterians were actually huge teetotalers. I don't think they are now. I believe that most Presbyterians are allowed to drink liquor now, but I guess maybe 1980 they still didn't.
Hmm.
I just know that because, like, you know, the founders of my town were Presbyterians and very strict teetotalers.
Oh.
And now they're dead. So see where that got them.
Oh shit, man! Yeah. Every kid in this whole shot is dressed up like they're trying out for the part of the Scarecrow.
That's kind of the running theme of this movie. Yeah. Is everyone just looks like a scarecrow. So we get like, oh my God. So Fatty Finn, he wins the toad contest.
Yeah.
But then
he was the toad prince.
But then he needs money to buy the crystal radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's going to buy this crystal radio from a pawn shop. So it's like a secondhand crystal radio. You don't even know if it'll work or not. Actually, no, he's trying it out. So it works.
Okay. I mean, this is Australia, so I just assume everything they get is secondhand. I assume they're one of those third world countries where they just wear clothes that we donate.
Yeah, so eventually, once in a while, people come with giant boxes of unsold Batman merchandise.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you go down there and all the kids are just wearing, like, enormous body glove shirts or, you know, or leftover merchandise from, like, yeah, what would be a movie? Like, a Shrek, you know? Or
yes. Like, Shrek 3. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But, so Fatty Finn is going to want this leftover radio, secondhand radio. So, let's see. He goes through some shenanigans to try and earn money.
That's the entire movie, is he wants the crystal radio and he's doing all this stuff to try and get it. And then at the end, spoiler, he gets it. So it's kind of a, Australian version of A Christmas Story.
I mean, it really is. And it's in the summertime. Cause it's like, and that is Christmas time in Australia. Cause you know, things are backwards in the Southern Hemisphere. I think it's a summertime, right? Cause they mentioned it's the holidays.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be like Christmas holidays. No Christmas happens.
No, but actually Mother's Day happens. When's Mother's Day for Australia?
Let's
or
see.
Or Mothering Sunday.
Is that what they call it down there?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, what a country.
I like it. Mothering Sunday.
All right. So Mother's Day in Australia appears to take place on May 14th.
Okay. So I guess it is, I guess it's just a very warm winter for them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Fatty Finn, let's see. What kind of shenanigans does he come up with to earn some money? They put on a show.
Yes, they do, in fact, put on a show. That is the important part. They put on this show where they're dressed up as pirates and skipping around going yo-ho-ho. Oh, also, he tries praying to God for money.
Oh, that doesn't really work.
No.
Because religion is fake.
Yeah. Yeah, if that worked, you know, we'd all be rich.
Yeah. And I understand that Australia is a more godless country than we are.
Oh, yes.
Because I've heard, because, you know, they know what's what, you know. they may be a bunch of inbred racists, but at least they know that much. It was funny when my brother was down there, because, like, he was, like, at the school he went to, like, when they did orientation, they were explaining to him why their school is better than all the other schools. And they basically said, like, well, because that school is where all the fucking Catholics are. Fuck them. And my brother was like, you can't say this sort of thing in America. You get in trouble.
Okay. Okay, yeah, they put on a show, but the show is part of this carnival that they're putting on. And, like, why are all of Fatty's friends helping him to earn this radio that he doesn't even share with them?
Yeah, he seems to basically be, I guess he's, like, their boss, you know, because he's the head of the gang. So he's, like, because he's taking a cut from all the money that they earn.
Yeah.
Which gets kind of problematic when he's basically prostituting Tilly there.
Yeah, she's giving out she's doing a kissing booth, and the rich kid, you know, shows up with this, you know, handful of gold coins and was like, I'd like to buy 100 kisses, please.
Yeah, and like Tilly, who, by the way, she's what, like a 10 years old,
yeah.
And they have her in like this like low cut red dress with a big feather boa, and she's like doing the like, but you know, sort of like look at anyone who comes by, and it's like, is this legal, you know, in Australia? This feels like, you know, especially because like he comes up to her and she's like, I really don't want to do this, Fatty. Isn't there a way that like another way to make money? Couldn't we charge more per kiss so I don't have to do as many? And Fatty's like, why would we want to do that? It's like, oh my God.
Kissing is free. Come on.
It really feels like she's being sex trafficked in this
scene. It really
does. And then like, yeah, the rich kid shows up. And it's funny because of course there's a rich kid. And he's like, what? Okay, look, if we told you there's a show called Fatty Finn about, it's like the Little Rascals, about a gang of hardscrabble kids doing shenanigans. And there's a rich kid that comes by. This is the rich kid you would imagine.
Yes. He literally looks like Buster Brown.
Yeah, it's like he comes out in his little Lord Fauntleroy, like, frills and everything.
Yes.
You know, he's dressed
He has got curls you could stick your fist through.
Yeah, like this movie ostensibly takes place in like 1930, and he's dressed like it's like 1860, you know, or even earlier. He's like, he's got like buckles on his shoes and stuff, you know, and and leggings, like the little like pantaloons and everything. He comes in, he's like, he does that thing where he was like, I should like to purchase 100 kisses, you know, with his he talks in rich guy accent.
Keep the change.
Yeah, exactly. His name is Snoodle.
Cy Snoodles in the Max Rebo Band. You heard it here first.
Because he's rich, you know, because he's a very rich kid named Snoodle.
The best and simultaneously worst part is Headlights doing the fortune telling.
Oh my God. He could not do that today.
He's doing this fortune telling where this little girl is asked for a fortune read, and he's saying, your whole family will be plunged into poverty. Your little sister will die of liver failure. The rest of the family will try to eat her liver to stay alive, and they'll die too. And she's going, oh, that's terrible. More.
Yeah, and at the end, he's all like, now you have to pay me.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Now the question is, why is he wearing blackface to do this?
Oh, it's very clear because he's fortune telling. He's got a crystal ball and everything. And as you know, the dark arts are practiced mostly by very swarthy people, you know?
I guess. He's just wearing coal soot. So, you know, I can't tell which specific ethnicity he's trying to be.
I'm not sure, because like now here in America, I think if you talk about like fortune telling, you mostly kind of associate with like Romani.
I think it's different in Europe, but yeah, you know, which is not to say that Roma fortune tellers are unknown.
Right.
One of them actually appears in Mouse. Do you ever read that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the very end of Mouse, there is the story of how they tried, Vladek, the father, and his wife tried to find each other, and she actually went to a fortune teller who, in mouse style, is a gypsy moth.
And
supposedly the fortune teller told her the exact truth, which is that your husband is alive and you're going to move to America and you'll have another child.
But, damn. Well, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
this fortune teller that Headlights plays, I think he's supposed to be Indian, because he was kind of wearing,
maybe, yeah,
is he wearing like a turban or something? I think I remember.
He's got some kind of, it's either a turban or a, actually no, it's more like a bandana, because his hair is sticking out.
Oh,
at first I thought he was wearing a really cool chef's hat, and I wanted one.
Well, I'm just going to assume that, like, that in Australia, they were probably like, well, fortune telling, ethnic people do it, so therefore, put him in blackface. It's 1980, and blackface was still acceptable in Australia at that point. In fact, I don't know why I say was. Apparently, from what I understand, they still do it on TV down there.
I remember they used to talk about something on Whose Line Is It Anyway? The original version with Clive Anderson, where they kept bringing up something called the Black and White Minstrels. And I think that was still going even after Whose Line ended.
I mostly know because there was a big controversy about it, as in, I think some TV show did it in Australia in, oh my God, this was about 10 years ago now. Mm. So, and apparently Australia was just like, what?
What do we do? What's wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong? You don't like blackface? What's up with that?
You must not like black people. You must be a racist.
Yeah, I mostly know about it because Richie Pilbeam from the fucking whatever site that was talked about it, but that I don't know how the controversy ended. I don't know if Australia ever apologized. Probably not. I'm sure they're still doing it, but anyway, Australia, they put on a show with some racism. And I think that fat Murphy shows, like Bruiser Murphy shows up and smashes it all. And
yeah, I mean, you got all of your friends to help out here, but you didn't hire any security.
Yeah, this is like one of those movies where the movie's basically the two gangs like showing up and like harassing each other.
Yeah, it feels like the He-Man PSA where they're like, well, if somebody does something wrong to you and then you get revenge on them, then they're going to get revenge on you. So you get revenge on them and they get revenge on you again.
I mean, that's pretty much it. It's like at some certain point you think it's like Fatty's like, look, we have to kill Bruiser Murphy and end this.
The only noble purpose of war is to destroy your enemy's ability to make war.
Yes. Now, they don't do that. This is kind of one of those wars of attrition type things.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about... So, Bruiser Murphy, his outfit... He's got a shirt like the British Dennis the Menace. And he's got, like, a derby hat. And I guess that's his thing. I mean, he doesn't... As far as, like, bullies go, he really doesn't strike me.
He's mostly just tall. He's kind of he's got that 2Y chromosomes look.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that he's got this girlfriend who's constantly like just like slathering lipstick on in every scene. She has a little pocket mirror and she's always putting on lipstick. That's like her gimmick, I guess. She doesn't even get a name though. She's just Bruiser's girl.
Maybe that's, maybe she doesn't want you to know her real name. She's like, what do we call you? Bruiser's girl. That's it.
Yeah, why not? So Bruiser comes and he busts everything up. He steals lemonade and doesn't pay for it.
Yeah.
And,
I don't think he steals the money, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah. I don't think, because it's not about money for him. It's just about causing, just about ruining Fatty's fun.
Yep.
He's doing this for the love of the game.
And then we get our first movie matinee break.
Oh yeah, it took me a while before I figured out that we were just watching like a they were cutting the commercials out.
Yeah, oh man, we don't have to see any 1980 in Australian commercials.
Boy, I bet there's some wild ones.
Oh man,
but no, all we get is like I thought for a while that they were like going to see a movie matinee, and after a while I was as usual I was kind of like multitasking, so it took me a couple times where I figured out like, wait a minute, they keep going to this matinee, but I don't recall actually ever seeing a matinee in this movie, so it's just the Saturday matinee,
so some relatively well-off person in Australia in 1980 taped this from TV, and if they hadn't, would we still be able to watch it today? We don't know. There doesn't seem to have been a DVD or Blu-ray release.
This would be lost media.
Yeah.
Well, except all we know, what's really, entertaining about it is that both Fatty and Tilly have gone on to be prominent actors in Australia. They've appeared in a lot of Australian stuff. Now, the girl who plays Tilly grew up to be an adult, and she's been in one thing that people may know. She was apparently an ex-girlfriend in Jerry Maguire, but otherwise, everything that she's been in seems to be very Australian, so I'm not familiar with it. Probably sucks, because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised. It's probably some really obscure thing,
Yeah.
Maybe it was
certainly
like a sleeper
hit. People quote all the time.
No. Anyway, as Fatty Finn would say, show me the money, show. So they do the show, and then they decide to do like a Blood Brothers Pirate Cove type thing.
Yeah. Much like the one that we did when we started a podcast together.
Oh yeah, you know how it is. You slice your hand and drip your blood together and make a pact to like die on the battlefield of podcasting.
Yeah.
We will
take the other podcasters down, every single one of them, and be the last one standing.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
Just you wait. It's like, because, you know, we've already taken down. I can't think of a podcast that no longer exists.
Some of the ones that we had guest stars from, so let's be nice and not mention them.
Oh, really? Oops. Yeah, sorry. I'm sure they were fine. I'm sure they were good podcasts.
Yeah.
Like Show. That one's not around anymore. Anyway. No. But so they do that, and then what do they do? I guess then
then we have the scene where they march off dressed in pirate outfits and find Bruiser's gang as they're splashing around nude in the old swimming hole. Even the girl.
Yep. Yep. it's a spicy movie for 1980.
Yeah. And so then they throw pelt them with rotten eggs and paint and itching powder. And steal their clothes.
I gotta say though, Bruiser's gang, when they're not like fighting, when they're not like engaged in a war with Fatty, it seems like they actually have fun. As opposed to Fatty's gang, who like they have to work for him, you know.
Yeah, I don't get it. And Bruiser ends up walking home in like an old, what is that, a wicker laundry basket.
I was gonna say it looks like a gigantic Chinese finger trap.
Yeah, I was like, you know, you went to so much trouble to make this a live-action cartoon, but you didn't give him a barrel to wear.
Oh, yeah, that's a real oversight.
Yeah.
And then, like, what is it, that other kid is like steals like a flag from in front of like some guy's store.
Yeah.
And the guy is like, give me that flag.
Give me back that flag. And we get a nice shot of the kid's pale, untanned butt as he runs away.
Yeah, they really zoom in on that.
Yeah, I was like, get a good steamy gawk. You came for butt, here it is.
I mean, you know, and this is, let me just say, this is authentic Australian ass. You can tell because, like, the tan lines, where it's like all Australians have, like, pasty white asses, but the rest of them is bronzed from, you know, her son they have down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like in America. If this was an American movie, they'd even that all out. Because you'd never see someone's like an ass like that, like tan lines like that, except Alfred E. Newman, you know, that one Mad cover. But but anyway, so Australia, their haze code is a little different than ours, apparently. Mm-hmm.
But again, they didn't actually prevent the war from continuing, which means that next time we see Fatty, he sees the revenge that the gang played on his gang, which is, among other things, they drew a Kilroy is here and wrote foo on his goat.
The Kilroy is here appears several times throughout this film. It's kind of interesting.
Really is the 30s. And the word foo. Yeah.
What does this foo mean? Something in the 30s?
Yeah, foo was actually a catchphrase from another comic strip, and I think it was from Smokey Stover. And and have you ever heard, you know, not just the band, but have you heard of the, I guess you'd call it a cryptid called a Foo Fighter?
Isn't it like a UFO?
Yeah, Foo Fighters got their name from the catchphrase foo.
Oh, huh. Interesting. I did not know that.
So Fatty returns to the scene of the carnage, and all of his friends are sitting silently in chairs, just waiting to be inspected as he sort of meanders over with an ice cream cone in his fist, kind of like, you guys look like shit.
I do like this scene because basically all his friends decide to go on strike.
Yeah.
Because they realize, like, why are we earning money for this guy? You know, the boss needs us. We don't need him. You know? And it's especially funny because, like, they all kind of leave. And then Tilly, he's trying to get Tilly to stay. And she's like, I ain't no scab. It's like, all right. Well, you know, this part of the movie kind of won me over. It's also very funny because later on, I think when they feel kind of bad for him. When he has some other bad...
Because he's scooping up horse shit with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah, and but don't they say something like, well, he's a capitalist, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny, too. But yeah, so they all go on strike, And now Fatty has to earn his money by himself, by his own labor. He can't exploit the working class anymore. And he actually finds he does fairly well because he gets involved in illegal activities.
Yeah, he meets some Sydney thugs who start sending him on illegal missions to deliver jewels.
Yeah, he basically becomes like a mule.
Yeah.
For the queen of the Sydney Underground.
Yeah.
Who is, she's basically
basically Breathless Mahoney.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how, she's got, because he goes to her place and she's there and there's like a bunch of other malls just hanging around, which is interesting because usually when there's a bunch of malls, it's because there's like, you know, a head gangster there who's usually a guy who's all like, look at all my malls. So it's very interesting that instead the main gangster is also a lady, you know?
I like the thought that they're like, that maybe there was a major gangster and then the malls were like, you know, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing working for this clown? Let's get rid of him and run this business ourselves. Malls are doing it for themselves.
I like that. I mean, there are little bits of this movie that I kind of made me wish this movie was better.
That is, I think, the highest praise you can give it. It's like, you know, there isn't nothing there. I mean, there are elements where I was like, you know, if this were a better movie, this would be a good part of it.
Hey, this is Mike. Just to let you know, we talked so much about Fatty Finn that we're breaking up into two parts. So join us next week for the conclusion of our talk about Australia's favorite comic strip and film, Fatty Finn.